Before, I had the image of samurai as being someone cold and just, you know, slaughtering people or just fighting wars and stuff. But when you look into the heart of samurai, the willingness to serve the master, just really looks a lot like Jesus in some ways.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Rodcast, and this week I've got our amazing pastor Masashi Shibuya.
Yeah.
from Yokohama Lifehouse, and Masashi's got an amazing testimony, which we might get into some of that, but we are going to talk about samurai again this week, and the concept that that their main religion is being Japanese. It's something very deep. And that means that what we read in the New Testament with Jesus actually fits in with a lot of the values of samurai. Mm. So when we think of samurai, for me as an Australian growing up, it was all about the Iga ninjas or the famous sword fights and that. But we're talking about samurai in terms of values, in terms not of the sword play, but in terms of the values of the heart. So, Marsh, your background is living in Japan, but also living in America. Did you know about samurai growing up?
No idea. I actually didn't really. You know, that's something that I got made fun of in America. Just samurai stuff. So I turned off to the concept of samurai because I kind of identity crisis. I wanted to be American, so I wanted to shut off my Japanese side because that's all you get made fun of is being ninjas and samurais.
So what about now? Now that you're a believer and your pastor is have you got over that and that samurai is now interesting or?
Yeah, it's fascinating. I love it. Like, you know, I didn't know about the seven codes and, you know, how it originated, what's important to them. But, you know, just to really make you feel and be proud of being a Japanese.
Awesome. Well, you should. It's a great nation. We love this nation. And I mean, there's not many Japanese Christians, hey, but there's a lot of Japanese that hold very good values. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting concept. Maybe a reason why the gospel has had a difficult time, maybe in the last generation. Difficult not as in persecution, but it hasn't really grown a lot. It's interesting, isn't it? And I mean, you got saved here in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Just give us a bit of your testimony. It might be interesting for people to hear.
Yeah,
how a Japanese person got saved as a young adult.
Yeah, I grew up in America. Most of my friends were Christians, so and I've always had a good impression about Christians because they're always nice. You know, they were the ones that didn't make fun of me for being a samurai or being a ninja. Yeah. They were always honest and authentic. So I've always had a good impression, but they never really shared Jesus with me. So it's more about a Western culture, Western religion, rather than a Japanese religion. And I came back to Japan for third year of my university. Lived in America for over 10 years and came back to Japan as a university student. And somebody from school invited me to Lifehouse Church. Since I had a great impression already about Christian people, wanted to come and check it out. But just to hear the gospel in Japanese, both Japanese and English, really made sense to me. It just really touched my heart. And that was the first time I got to believe and hear that it's not a Western religion. It is for everybody. Jesus came for everybody. And even the Japanese people can believe and relate that Jesus came for me. So
it's really interesting. You're saying, you know, it's not a foreign religion. And we talked a bit about last week about some of the history. If you want to go back, everyone, to listen, I was interviewing another one of our great pastors, Pastor Tusuke.
Mm.
But this concept, is Christianity a foreign religion? Well, there's two ways to answer that. One is there was a great move of the Holy Spirit here 500 years ago when a fifth of the nation became Christians. It's unknown history, and yet it's in the history books. I think the Japanese high school or something has one paragraph saying in the Middle Ages, Francis Xavier came and there was a lot of people became Christians. Probably one paragraph, but it's actually a huge paragraph in history.
Mm.
So it was embedded in the soil then, and also between 500,000 to 1 million people probably died for their faith in Christ.
Wow.
So it's in the soil. And so we come to the modern day and we're thinking, is it a foreign religion? And our answer as Lifehouse Church pastors is no. The God was here before whatever religion, right? Yeah. So we're believing that there's clues. God put clues in the culture. God put what some people call redemptive analogies. That's very big words for stories and pictures in a culture where the gospel can hook onto as a cross-cultural communication tool.
Right.
And me as a foreigner, I've found a lot of them here in Japan. So it's interesting we're talking that you were in America, weren't really interested in samurai, but now you are. So we've been talking about it in our office. How has it interested you now?
I think just, you know, how strong samurais are in commitment, in beliefs, in caring and loving. Like before, I had the image of samurai as being someone cold and just, you know, slaughtering people or just fighting wars and stuff. But when you look into the heart of samurai, the willingness to serve the master, just really looks a lot like Jesus in some ways.
Right. Interesting, isn't it? Take away the sword fighting part. That is part of it. The samurai had a sword, was always practicing, but his purpose was not to be aggressive. It was actually to be part of a team protecting a kingdom. And a lot of it was protection.
Right.
Protection for their family, for their community, for their castle, for their lord. And it came out of that, these seven values. And we've been researching these values, and it doesn't seem as though there's any origin. There's no original book, say, from 1,000 years ago. There's no book. There's no introduction to samurai. The word samurai actually means servant, so it's a servant in a kingdom. But as we look at the values, they were written about, that the samurais are to have certain values. In fact, one of the things that samurais excelled in was literature, pottery, calligraphy, which means writing beautiful letters, poetry. A lot of the arts was part of their training. And it comes out in their virtues. So Nitobe, we talked about last week, makes a statement that samurai is an orphan philosophy. It does not belong to religion or anyone. It's sitting there in the Japanese soul as very, very major values to be a Japanese.
Wow.
That's pretty interesting, hey?
Yeah.
I mean, you just see some of these values naturally in Japan.
But it's interesting because we never get taught this, but it's cult.
Yes.
And it's embedded into the culture now.
I think that's so true, Marsh. So Japanese don't get trained in this in school.
Samurai school. School of samurai.
there's no such thing now. But it is in the culture. I think it's one of the reasons why people love Japan so much. No one coming to Japan, people don't say, hi, we're samurai. It doesn't come out that way. But it comes out in the way Westerners describe Japan. They're describing it as polite and nice and serving and not being aggressive, and they're actually describing the samurai virtues. Isn't that interesting?
It's interesting.
And so when you came back, got saved, and I know the rest of the story, so I'm sort of leading you on. Then you went back to America and talked to your Christian friends. What did you ask them?
I said, you know, thanks for being great friends, but you're keeping this best secret from me, that I could also believe in Jesus. You know, it's not just for you guys that I could also believe. So, you know, we kind of start to tease each other. Like, if I had known this earlier, like, you know, I would probably have to go through some of the tougher seasons in my life to have somebody that I can, you know, hang on to, the hope that comes from Jesus. So if I could have that, you know, it could have looked a little bit different, but, you know, it was at the right time. You know, God had timing for me.
It's really interesting. I think part of the story you said was they said something like, we didn't think you'd be interested, or we, being an Asian, we're not sure you would have. What did they say at that point?
I think they didn't exactly say like they were like, you know, scared, but they did say like they were a bit cautious because they didn't want to just being a good friend as well. They didn't want to kind of step over that boundary of friendship, or they didn't want to be too, you know, shoving down my throat kind of Christians.
Right. Yeah.
So I think, yeah, they were very kind of stepping on glass kind of stuff. They didn't know what to do.
And I think this is like this false, you know, image we bring up in our mind about Japanese or whatever culture, and they're not interested. I think we need to, as believers, just be friends and ask nice questions.
Mm.
Because you said if you'd been asked to go to church, you probably would have. And if you'd been asked to hear the gospel, you would have. But they thought you were Japanese. So here's the other side of the coin of foreigners saying we're not sure how we'll be received, or we're not sure if we'll be offensive.
Yeah.
But you as a Japanese are very open to friendship and then hearing what people mm-hmm. say. That noble heart was there as well.
Yeah.
So let's go through the virtues. And I've just listed them down briefly. There's seven virtues. Some books say eight, but anyway, there's seven. It's right living, courage, benevolence, which means compassion, politeness, honesty, and there's a big section on not being two-faced or two-tongued, I think is the Japanese word.
Yeah.
Honor, loyalty. I mean, these are Christian values.
Mm.
We're not saying Japanese are Christian. We're just saying these are actual values that we read about in the whole Bible.
Wow.
These are good things which make a good society.
Mm.
And it reminds me a little bit of the Old Testament, the God's will for the Jewish people to have a good society. And so there was a lot of laws. And Japan doesn't seem to have the laws up front, but if we have these seven things, laws flow.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting, hey?
Mm.
So as an insider Japanese, when you hear foreigners come here and say all these nice things, how does it make you feel?
It feels great. And, you know, I didn't live in Japan for a long time, so I didn't really know the beauty of Japan until I came back to Japan. And, you know, I did hear a lot of people talking about Japan in that sense when I was in America. But, you know, when I'm actually back in Japan living, I've been living here for about 10 years now. But some of the things, like you forget how beautiful it is. Like you take it for granted. But it is true. Like all these things are embedded into every systems and culture and government. And it's just something that I think maybe Japanese people need to be more aware of how beautiful our nation is.
Yeah.
To have that pride in our nation. Mm. Because I think a lot of younger Japanese people especially want to be overseas and they lose the beauty. They don't see the beauty. In Japan, and it's, you know, its own thing. So
yeah.
I love talking to you guys, talking to you, Pastor Rob, because you bring that out of Japanese more. Like we are Japanese and we are living in a beautiful nation that we can be proud of for all the world to see. So
absolutely. We've lived here 23 years and we've loved it. And one of my roles has been to be very positive. I think in the early years, I said I want to be the most positive man in Japan. And I said it sort of smiling, but why not, you know? So that didn't mean that I came in as a superior person. I just came in as an observer and a participant. And
right.
I'm in the crowd. I'm watching the game with you. I'm here with you watching the game. I'm a participant. But as a participant, I noticed a lot of Japanese were very down on their own society.
Mm.
And one of the things we've done at Lifehouse is speak so positively about Japan. And you're saying that was significant for you. Do you think that's important for Japanese to hear that?
I think so, because, you know, just, like, I think without that, a lot of Japanese people are always comparing that it is not good enough here. It's better somewhere else. And just grass is always greener in their world. So I think for us to see it, just kind of help us to realize how blessed we are, how generous we are, how amazing our nation and work environment is.
Yeah. And now as a Christian leader as well, you want to tell them how good God made Japan.
Yeah, totally.
And that doesn't mean they're saved, but it does mean they're special. That word holy means special. It doesn't mean, you know, pure and 100%. It means very special, special people. So a lot of our message in Japan is that God has a purpose.
Yep.
Yeah. What's our favorite verse for Japan, Marsh?
Jeremiah 29:11.
Which says?
For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, they're plans for not for disaster, but plans to give you hope in the future.
That scripture, we call it the Japan verse because it does seem to really impact the Japanese soul as seekers. They're not saved yet, but they're hearing this concept that there's a God with a plan, a good plan, and that they're very special in his sight. I think that's really amazing revelation for us. Even in the first year here, we realized just how important that was. So you're a great preacher, Marsh. I know you're probably not going to agree with me, but you probably are.
Thank you.
One of the things you do is you speak to Japanese. You speak to the Japanese heart. You preach Jesus. What do you do? I don't know. Maybe it's subconscious, but what do you do when you speak to the Japanese heart about you're great people, but you need Jesus?
I think it's just maybe I speak a lot on testimony. I don't know, Pastor Ron. I don't know how you feel about my preaching, but I just relate to them because I know what they're going through because that's where I was before Jesus. And I think it is structured. I guess you've given us amazing structure to preach. But from there, I think, you know, we emphasize a lot on testimonies and how we found Jesus and what Jesus means to us now and how he has kind of, I guess, big word, redemption, but kind of redeemed us from that world to where we are now. So I don't know. I don't think it's anything special to me, but I just really feel it, people are feeling in their heart and what they're going through.
Well, it's great to watch because I'm just enjoying it because I know who you are and I know Jesus and I know that you're relating and that a lot of people get saved. And I think this is what Japanese need really is this heart-to-heart chat that you are special, but you need a savior.
Mm.
You are special. The nation is special. But you still need a savior to save you from your sins, your mistakes.
Because Japanese people, I think, is really good at trying. They try different things to seek an answer or seek a solution. Mm. But and I think that's where we need grace, that we don't need to try. It's already given to us.
Right. So talk about that, grace. Talk about the importance of grace in Japan.
Well, I think it's a hard concept, even for me, Pastor, after coming to church for all those years, it was one of the concepts that was really hard to grasp because it's too good to be true. And I think maybe, I don't know if it's from the samurai code or not, but we're taught to earn. We're taught to, do something to earn something better.
Yeah.
So for Jesus to say it's just to receive, I think for us in our mind didn't really make sense because it's just too good to be true. Like, how can we just receive this?
Yeah.
Don't we have to earn something to get a better future, or don't we have to do something to get hope in our lives? And so, it's like an onsen. We call it an onsen experience, Pastor Roda. Once you receive grace and understand grace, it's like, just instant healing, instant freedom.
Right. The onsen is a Japanese communal jacuzzi, basically. men and women are different, but just sitting in the hot water thinking and percolating in grace is really what we're talking about here. And it is a huge part of the Japanese process towards Christ because there is this drive. So in society, there's very low crime rate here and very high politeness and it's a great country, but in the heart that grace becomes quite tough and mean, almost like mean on yourself, not mean to others, mean on yourself. And so we're constantly saying relax. Yeah. Christ has done the work. Even last Sunday I talked to a great Japanese couple who came back from America. They've been there in America for a couple of years and were not really exposed to Christianity, but that there was some knowledge that it was good. And they've been in our church here in Tokyo West for a bit now, seeking the Lord. And I said, how are you doing? They said, we're trying to be Christian. We're trying to understand. And I, knowing the Japanese heart, I said, you just can't do that. you just stop it. And I could see his wife sort of relax. And I said, Japanese, you can't do this to get saved. You must believe this to get saved. And so relax. And I'm not sure they crossed the line, but they're certainly lovely people who are seekers. I love it. But it was this issue of grace that is so different and so new that we need to keep preaching. And you preach that well. and from personal testimony of relaxing and finding purpose.
Is there something unique to Japanese, Pastor Rod?
I'm sorry?
Is there something unique to Japanese thing to understand grace is a bit?
I think it's not. I don't think it's unique. I think it's a lot of Asia, East Asia. So East Asia is basically Buddhist background. Mm. And then Southeast Asia has a different form of Buddhism. But it's right through that area. Mm. And the concept of a lot of people in the West don't really understand Buddhism. Buddhism is a system with over 200 laws, about 250 laws. Now, most young people don't know that. But those laws can be brought down to things like speak well, do well, think well, act well. Like that's good teaching. Mm. I say here in Japan, that's actually really good teaching.
Mm.
It's just in the heart you can't do it. Right. That's called sin, and that's why we need a savior.
Mm.
So, yes, any country with this teaching, so it'd be Korea, China, Mongolia, Hong Kong, and then Southeast Asia has a different form, Thailand, Sri Lanka, Cambodia, Vietnam. It's a little bit more ritual.
Right.
But it's still the same concept that we must do things to get either a better life or a better reincarnation.
Right.
Now, I don't think Japanese think about reincarnation too much, but a better afterlife, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And so there is that vague spirituality here. There's definitely here. It's just this constant, I'm not good enough. Am I good enough? So it leads to self-doubt, lack of confidence, sadness. And that's why we preach Jesus is everything. He's given you a nice heart, Japan, but you need a savior. You need someone who died to take away your sin and the impact of sin, the shame, the guilt, the repercussions of sin. We need a savior, someone to help us. And the risen savior, Jesus, is the one. No other religion has a risen savior.
Yeah.
So we have a risen savior here in Japan. And that's what we're saying to Japanese. You don't have to be not Japanese. Be totally Japanese with the values, but you need a savior.
Right.
Would you say that's the good news that's what we're trying to say?
I think so, because I think, you know, to believe in Jesus, sometimes people think I have to give up my things that I've believed or things that made me who I am now, or some of the, you know, I think a lot of people take pride in family heritage. So these are the things that's been taught through my family and in my tribe, kind of almost. So I think when they come to a decision moment, it's like, do I have to give up my family values to believe in Jesus? And I think it's a beautiful thing is we've been able to say, hey, no, keep both because they're both good, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's really important. We're saying to Japanese, we want you to be totally Japanese and totally, totally Christian.
Yeah.
I think it's a new, sort of a new thing we're saying, but it's really, it's the goal. We don't want you to become Western to become Christian. We want you to be totally Japanese with those values. Bring it with you, but you need a savior.
Yeah.
You need someone who died and rose again. You need a savior, Jesus. So this is pretty exciting. I think we talked about it last week, but let me say it again. We have a young guy in our church who's an archery specialist. And he got saved last year and did really well, got baptized, lovely man, good man, a good man. But maybe there was still some concern about being Japanese and being Christian. And then I asked him to come up on the stage with just his bow, not his arrows. I said, no arrows in church. Bring your bow and show people the art form. And so he did it. It was very serious. Like this was a serious moment for this young man. He did he's just pulled the string back, which is very hard to do. And I said, this is the culture. This is strength. This is good. This is what God wants to do in our soul. And afterwards he was not crying as in tears down the face, but glistening in the eyes. Wow. And he said, Pastor Rod, today my Bushido, my samurai culture and my Jesus became one. And I thought, that's exactly why we're in Japan. This is where we're not here to make Japanese not Japanese. We're here to make good Japanese Christians in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I've been having fun talking to Japanese about this, saying, we've got to help you with your own theology here, your own Bible understanding, how it relates in Japan. How do we help you? Because I think only that's when it's really going to spread through the culture dramatically, Marsh, is when people realize we're not asking them to be not Japanese.
No, because I think it's like even for that guy, like I think the archery was who he was. It's his belief and it's his identity. And I think that's a lot of Japan, isn't it, Pastor? Like a lot, especially in the older generations, they're a bit stubborn. So like what they do makes, you know, who they are. Like, yeah. You know, and that's the beauty of it as well, the artistry and, you know, the mastery of making swords and that it becomes their identity.
Yeah.
And maybe sometimes when they get introduced to Jesus, they feel like they have to give up that, the work or mastery of made them who they are.
Yeah.
And it was same with that guy with archery. I think it was who he was. That was his belief. That's the identity.
And I'd love him to go to say to his friends and his sensei, his dojo, his teachers, I want to do better now that I'm a believer in Jesus. I'd love that to be the result, not I'm going to be lazy now, but I'm going to be the best I can be, but out of the heart of grace that I don't have to be the best, but you just watch me because now I have a new motivation.
Mm.
And it'd be the same with the business world or with any area of athletics or whatever. Now I'm, or even just being children in the Japanese home saying, now I'm a believer, I want to be a better child.
Mm.
A better Japanese child. And I think that the Japanese parents would then realize, so being a Christian doesn't mean not being Japanese.
Do you know what my sister said to me, Pastor, when I believed in Jesus?
Yeah.
She said, we're having a dinner and my sister poured me a water. And I said, thank you. And she was shocked. She said, what do you mean, thank you? I said, thank you for pouring me a water. And she said, you never showed any gratitude when I did something. You must have changed. What happened? So I said, I go to church now, but is that what it is? So I think those small things, but I think those are, you know, affecting the behaviors and, you know, the family dynamic almost.
Yeah. And I think that there's also relaxation from grace, showing that we're not so tense and reactive anymore. Like what happened? Well, I'm Japanese, but now I have Jesus. I think This is what we call the witness in Japan, because you sort of can't prove I'm better than someone else. Like I do more than someone else. Because Japanese do that.
Mm.
I mean, a lot of people have come to Japan, foreigners, and say, how can we affect the community? Let's pick up paper on Saturday morning. And I say, it's already been done by the community. Let's go and help these people. It's already been done. So there's a lot of things being done in the physical social world.
Mm.
So how do people prove that something has shifted in their life? It's from this joyful, grace-filled, thankful samurais.
True.
And people say, you've changed. You've got thankfulness or grace, or you've got joy, or you've, and I think that's a big part of our church life, isn't it? Having joy. You know, people are pretty shocked when they come to church, right?
Yeah, it's a joyful church.
I say to people, come along, it's going to be loud, and it's going to be joyful.
Mm.
And it's amazing how many people say, I'd like to experience that, you know? Some religious people, maybe not, but most people,
they love it.
Would love that experience.
Mm. Can I ask you a question though, Pastor Rod? Because, you know, maybe it just points to the need for savior, but one of the virtues of Bushido is actually not being two-faced or not being two tongues.
Yeah.
But I feel like in Japanese society, a lot of people are two-faced. There's a Japanese proverb, honne to tatemae, which means like what you see on the face, but what people have in their heart is different.
Yeah.
So how do you think that is happening in society more recently? Well, maybe it's always been there, but.
Well, I think young Japanese are more honest. I would say that. I think there is a progression, but I would actually preach it.
Mm.
I'd say your culture, Japanese, your culture says, one tongue, not my culture, your culture, and God will help us. So instead of being afraid, as a foreigner, instead of being afraid to speak to Japanese, I think I think I've got a boldness because I love them so much. It sounds terrible to say that. I know it sounds a bit proud, but really, this is my motivation in saying to Japanese, your culture says, and God will help you, and God will help you, and Jesus will help you to become that one-tongued person. Recently, I did a series on something I forget, and we talked about the devil, the snake in the Garden of Eden, and we were talking about how don't listen to the devil in your marriage, because Adam and Eve were married, and don't have a snake in your marriage. Don't listen to the devil. And that was the theme, just get rid of the snake. One young man, actually a brother of one of our great believers, came for the first time to church. And afterwards, someone said, how did you feel about the message? He said, I realized I have lots of snakes around my life. And I thought, that's so Japanese. Like, it was just such a great, you know, he took in the message into his environment. Well, after about a month, that young man got saved last weekend. Isn't that exciting?
Oh, it's nice. Really exciting. Praise God.
But I think that's the message that Japanese want to hear. You don't have to have the snakes around anymore. You don't have to have the two-face and the two, and it's stressful.
Yeah.
It's really stressful. So what is our message? God can give you the one tongue. God can give you the rest from having to be two different people, because that's stressful. So I think we need to preach it boldly, not in a judgmental way of the Japanese, but hey, this is in your culture and I know you want it. Well, here's how God wants to help you. You know what I mean? Like, don't you think Japanese would receive that?
Oh, totally. And I think even listening to you, it just made me realize maybe we need to talk about these things more, because it is a cultural thing, like cultural problem.
Yeah.
But people want to be better. People don't want to do that, but it just kind of falls into that because of, you know, mistakes.
Yeah.
And so just to help them get out of that, I think it would be such a hope.
Well, if this is samurai culture and it's Japanese, I think we can speak to it, but the answer is Jesus. The answer is not working harder.
Yeah.
We need a resolution in our heart that we want this one tongue, this heart and mouth is the same. This is good. You're going to sleep better. You're going to have more friends. Yeah. And God wants to help you. Put on the armor of the Lord. Put on God's strength. So it's not work harder now. It's ask God for help. And that's where a lot of our young people are finding better relationships, better friendships. Honesty becomes a high value because it's actually not foreign. It's a desire. Yeah. Interesting, eh?
Totally.
So I think we can preach it. As a foreigner here, I've been very careful not to be critical, yet I say to the Japanese or to Australians, you know, we have culture here and most of it's good. But there's God's culture, and if God's culture challenges our culture, we must surrender. That's samurai. Surrender to the Lord.
Yeah.
That's samurai. Surrender to a higher value. So, but I don't think any Japanese would argue and say be two-tongued is good. unless they're a criminal. but even they would probably say it's stressful.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think if you preach this and say, you want this, Japanese, you want this, don't you? They'd go, yes. So therefore, it's not critical of Japanese culture. It's actually saying, this is the culture, and God wants to help you to be that. I think that's a really positive message, even for a foreigner. I don't think Japanese could see that as a hit on the culture, but rather, wow, this foreign guy is telling us that the God here in Japan, Jesus, is going to help us in Japan.
Yeah.
I think when it's shared like that, and you being a Japanese pastor, you could say, hey, us Japanese, we know this, but this is what God wants to help us. I think most Japanese would lean in and say, well, tell me about that, Pastor Masashi.
I think so. Even like, you know, coming from you though, I think – you knowing and studying Japanese culture, I think it's received well because it's not, you're not judging, you're not being critical, but you love it so much that this is something that you've noticed in Japan.
Yeah.
And we need help. So,
and I want to make your lives better in Christ. That's why we came. But in Australia, I was the same. Like, Australian culture is really good. All these things, good things. Here's God's culture. Oh, it's challenging this area.
Yeah.
Hey, Aussies, let's be like Jesus. So it's not like I'm only doing it here.
Mm.
And I'm not doing it all the time. It's minimal, but right. it is when it's essential, when it would affect mm-hmm. marriages, friendships, happiness, sleep, health. If it affects that, let's talk about it.
Right.
Yeah.
No, so good.
But as you're hearing me say, I'm preaching from strength here in Japan. Hey, Japanese, yeah. you want this, you want this, you want this. God can give it to you.
Mm.
I think it's, and I don't know why it hasn't been preached that way. I think it could be powerful.
Yeah. Maybe for us, maybe it's something that we could emphasize a little bit more with the Japanese pastors, because we understand the culture. We know where yeah. we come from. So it's like, hey, just be strong and
yeah.
go forth.
Well, just for us in Lifehouse, next month we're having a training. Maybe this is a great message of how do we share good news with good people.
Yeah.
Now, good people doesn't mean saved people, but good people means good people.
Yeah.
Like the Jewish people that Jesus worked with were mostly good, except for the Pharisees. They were good people. except for the religious people. Mm. They were good people. And Jesus just, of course, he loved them, but he didn't criticize the culture unless there was hypocrisy.
Right.
As an insider. And I think we can do that here in Japan and say all the good things and say, hey, but there is these things that God wants you to know and God will give you help. Mm. Yeah. That's good news.
Yeah. Mm. Like these are good things. Like even being two-faced, sometimes it's a good thing to honor, because maybe they do it out of honor, out of the Bushido code of honoring and loyalty, right?
Yeah.
But when it's applied to the heart, I think that's the good key issue, Pastor, that you've been mentioning a couple of times today. It's like when it's applied to the heart, it's not good. You know?
Yeah, it's stressful because you know you can't live up to it. Yeah. That's grace, and that's why we need Jesus.
Hi, thank you for joining us today. We hope this episode was interesting and helpful to you. If it was, you can let us know by rating, reviewing, sharing, and commenting on the episode. That'll help us know what you're enjoying and what topics we should focus on in the future. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to get these episodes as soon as they drop every month. And we'll see you in the next episode of The Rodcast.